This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue in the series Essentials for Living. In these lessons, Pastor Rick shares the power you need to live on, the principles you need to live by, and the purpose you need to live for, so that you're truly living and not just existing. First, we're excited to let you know that very generous friends of Daily Hope have stepped forward with a special $25,000 matching grant. That means any gift you give to help Daily Hope share God's Word with people everywhere will be doubled. So contact us right away. Go to PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004 while you listen to today's broadcast. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called Using the Bible to Make Decisions.
Most of the choices you make in life are not really between really good and really evil. I mean, you don't get up in the morning saying, shall I read my Bible or become an international terrorist? You know, those kind of things do not even cross your mind. Pray, become a drug addict, you know? Those aren't issues with you. The issue is what's really best in your life. Because a lot of things aren't necessarily wrong. They're morally neutral, but they're just not necessary. And so you need to go to a higher standard and ask, will this, what I'm about to do, make me a better person? That is the improvement test. I remember many years ago when Kay was nursing our babies, and our babies would always get hungry right about noon, and so she would sit down to feed them, and she would turn on the TV. Well, what's on TV at midday? Oh, you know this. Oh, soap operas. I didn't know this. Soap operas. And so she started watching a soap opera while she'd feed the baby. Well, evidently, these soap operas kind of run into each other. And they kind of lead you on to the next one. And pretty soon, she was watching two. And after a while, pretty soon, she was watching three. And those babies were getting fat. they were well-fed babies. But, you know, after a while, she said she realized she wasn't doing this for the babies anymore, that she was actually rearranging her schedule to make sure she could see those shows. And she started figuring out ways, you know, well, I'll do ironing at this time, or, I'll clean up the kitchen, wherever the TV was, so she could get in. And actually, she got connected to the lives of fictional people. Now, I know none of you have ever done this. But all of a sudden, she became intimately interested in the lives of people who didn't even exist. And she said one day, it just hit her like a ton of bricks. Just kind of like a hello, you know, wake up call. She said, I am wasting my life. This is a total waste of my life and my time. This does not make me a better woman. This does not make me a better mother. This does not make me a better wife. It has no redeeming value. I am caring about people who don't even exist, when there are many who could be cared about, who do exist. Now, I realize I'm treading on thin ice right now. But I'm going to say it anyway. Some of you, your lives revolve around certain TV shows, and you are wasting your life. You are wasting your life. You know more about some fictional characters on TV than you know about Paul and Peter and the disciples and Jesus and what God wants to do in your life. And you are wasting your life. It is not making you a better person. Some of you are reading trashy novels that you have no business reading, and you're filling your mind with all kinds of junk. And some of you are reading novels that aren't trashy, they're just stuffing. And you spend hours and hours and hours in a world that does not exist, that does not make you a better person in any way, shape, or form. Or you read magazines. It is amazing to me how many Christians know great things, little trivia about celebrities. And they read all these celebrity magazines and these people magazines, and you know who's dating whom and who went to what show with whom and what she wore and all, you know, on and on and on. These people live very shallow lives, and you're investing your life reading about it. instead of making your life matter. That's a waste. And I know some of you guys are going, get them, Rick. Okay, guys. Some of you couch potatoes out there, from the moment you get home on Friday until Monday morning, are glued to ESPN. He could go all the way. Okay. You know more about Chris Berman than you know about your wife. And you are wasting your life. Are these things evil? No. Are they bad? No. Are they a waste of time if you spend too much time on them? Absolutely. Do they make you a better person? Absolutely not. In no way, shape, or form do they make you a better person. And you are giving your life for something that is a second-class cause. As I said, many activities in life are morally neutral. They're not right or wrong. It's just they're not helpful. They're unnecessary. You say, well, Rick, there's nothing wrong with it. You're right, but that's the wrong question. The question is not, is there anything wrong with it? The question is it making me a better person? Am I making something of my life? Now, I want to warn you that none of us approach this book neutral. When we come to read the Bible, we always read it from our bias, from our background, our temperament. We like to read into the Bible what we want it to say instead of letting it just speak to us. And so if we're rich, we like to find those verses in the Bible that say, you know, it's okay to be rich. And then if we're poor, we like to find those verses in the Bible say, you know, overthrow the rich, you know. And so we just want to find the verses that we like and ignore all the other ones. Rather than coming to God's word with a humble attitude and saying, God, you know what's best for me. You know what's right for me. And I'm going to do what you say to do, whether it makes sense or not, because I want to be a better person. And we just humbly submit to what he says. That's the third test. Tom's going to talk about the next one.
The fourth test is the independence test. You ask yourself the question with this test, could it become addicting to me? Could it begin to control and dominate my life? You see, no matter how fun something is, if it begins to dominate your life, to become an addiction, it's a bad decision. No matter how popular something is, if it is addicting to you, it's a bad decision. No matter how good something is for somebody else, if it dominates your life and becomes addicting to you, it's a bad decision. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12 talks about this test when it says, all things, Paul is talking, says, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. I'm going to decide, he says, not to decide to do anything that dominates my life. I won't let anything master me. I won't let anything consume me or control my life. Now, why is this so important? Because whatever dominates your life eventually becomes your God. The Big Ten, God's Ten Commandments. The first one, God said, you shall have no other gods before me. He knew how easily we could do this. He knew that we get addicted to our idols. Now, I know idols back then we think of as that little stone statue they put up on a shelf and worshiped. But we still have idols today. We worship little symbols on our car that we have that's different than everyone else's. Or on our shirt or the corner office. Or there's lots of things that you can get addicted to today. Can you become dominated by your work? Of course you can. Can you become addicted to sex? Of course you can. Or sports? Or money? Can you become addicted to the internet? Hour after hour after hour? Of course you can. Do you know that today there are over 2,000 classified addictions? You can get addicted to almost anything. Some of you are addicted to chocolate. Sorry to get so close to home, but you can get addicted to anything. And, you know, you're thinking about chocolate all the time. And you find yourself 4 or 5 days driving by Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory, rolling the window down just to smell the smell. You're not going to go in. You're just driving by. You linger over the chocolate ads in the newspaper. That's how you know it's starting to dominate your life. How do you know if you've fallen into that kind of an addiction? How do you know if something's starting to dominate your life? I think the number one question to ask yourself is this. What do I think about the most? What is it that when you're alone, what is it that when you're relaxed, you find yourself thinking about again and again and again? This is hard for us to admit, the things that begin to dominate our lives. It's very difficult for us to be honest with ourselves about this. I would say to you that if right now in your mind you're thinking, you know, this is not what I'm addicted to. As I'm talking about this, you're thinking, oh, it couldn't be that. Guess what? It's probably that. That's probably the thing that you're struggling with. And Paul says, I have decided that I'm not going to let anything control my life like that. 1 Corinthians 6:12 in the Living Bible says it this way. I can do anything I want to if Christ has not said no. But some of these things aren't good for me. Even if I'm allowed to do them, I'll refuse to if I think that they might get such a grip on me that I can't easily stop when I want to. Only Christ should have that kind of place in our lives, the first place in our lives, because he's the only one that's worthy of that place in our lives. Anything else that we put in that place will eventually dominate and control and ruin our lives. But when we put him in that place in our lives, he is the one that encourages, enables, and empowers our lives. So that's why this independence test, can it become addicting to me, is such an important question in making great decisions.
The fifth way to test the decision is the influence test. Will it harm other people? Will it harm other people?
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. If this message has encouraged you, or if God has put someone on your mind that needs to hear it, would you share it? You'll be glad you did. And be sure to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional at PastorRick.com.
Do you desire more of God? He desires more of you. Let me ask you this. How's your relationship with God right now? Maybe you're walking closely with him and you feel energized and alive. Or maybe you feel disconnected, like you're just going through the motions. Pastor Rick says if you want to stay connected and even deepen your relationship with God, you need to be intentional. That's why every year Pastor Rick personally goes through a spiritual renewal study, and now he's made that very same study available to you. It's called Going Deeper with God, a personal renewal retreat. In this very special resource, Pastor Rick will personally lead you on a spiritual journey that brings you closer to God. Together, you'll go through a series of audio lessons, and after each session, you'll take a little time to reflect and complete exercises in the companion workbook. Through this retreat, you'll experience a renewal of life within you. God will restore your joy as he renews, refreshes, invigorates, and revives your spiritual life. You'll never be the same again. When you give a gift to Daily Hope, you're helping share the hope of Jesus with people everywhere. And this month, your gift will be doubled by a $25,000 matching grant. Go to PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004, and we'll send you Going Deeper with God, a personal renewal retreat to say thanks. Again, that's PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004. There's only 3 days left to get this great resource and have your gift matched by a $25,000 matching grant. So contact us today.
Once again, here's Rick.
One of the biggest mistakes we make in life is we forget how much our actions influence and affect others around us. And every day you are tempted to make decisions that may be the best thing for you, but could have a devastating effect on the people around you. And so you need to take this fifth test. Will it harm other people? Now, this is the opposite of our culture, because culture teaches us, think of yourself only. Think of what you need, what your desires are. But the truth is, God expects you to think more than just of yourself. God expects you to think of the other people around you. In fact, you may not know this, but the Bible says one day you're going to be judged by God on how your decisions affected other people. Not you, but how they affected other people. Because God takes this serious. Notice this verse, Romans 14. Each of us will give an account of himself to God. Try to live in such a way that you will never make your brother stumble by letting him see you doing something he thinks is wrong. Now, you may not like hearing this, but whether you like it or not, you are being watched. All the time, you're being watched by other people. And there is no such thing as, well, I'm just doing it, all it affects is me. That's a lie. Everything you do has an effect on somebody else, either directly or indirectly, because we're all in this boat called humanity. And if we're in the boat together and I decide to drill a hole in the bottom of the boat, does that affect anybody else? Everybody else gets affected by the hole that I drilled. And so you do affect, everything you do, even your acts in secret, come out in effect in other people in many ways. So you have to stop and say, is what I'm doing going to harm anybody else? Whether you like it or not, you're being watched. Now, as a parent, those of you who are parents especially should be aware that little eyes are always watching you. And because of that, you want to be careful with what you say and do, because you are influencing not just your life, but the next generation. And so realizing that your children are watching you, you show respect for authority. Somebody, a policeman pulls you over for a ticket, even if you think he's dead wrong, you treat that guy with respect. Even if the authority is rude to you, you treat them with respect. And because you know that your children are watching you, you don't call in sick when you're telling the family you're going to Big Bear to go skiing. And you don't bring supplies home that you stole from the office to use for personal benefit. And you don't brag in front of your kids about all the ways you're ripping off Uncle Sam on your taxes. And when you're sitting there and watching TV, and they're in the room also, there are certain things you just flip past that maybe you could handle, but there are eyes in the room that couldn't handle it. And, there, you know, it's amazing to me, even commercials today that kids shouldn't be seeing. Because the commercials take the raunchiest part of what the show's going to be about and put it into a commercial. And you pause there, or you pause on some, you know, talk show because some bizarre guy's defending his lifestyle. And you think, this is weird. You're not being blown away by it. You're making a judgment on it. But the little kids are sitting there watching it. Folks, it is appalling to me what people let their kids watch. Not just on television, but in movies. I see all the time, I see couples going to mature movies, which is an understated word. I mean, that's ridiculous. Mature means nasty. That's what that means. Okay. And they're taking little kids in to see things that their eyes should never see. You are going to be accountable to God for that. You say, well, I can't control what my kids watch. You can in your house. And you can tell them what they can and can't see at movies. You say, well, they got to make their own decisions. Yeah, after they're out of the house. But as long as they're under your roof, you have a right to tell them what they can and cannot see. And if you don't, when you get to heaven, you're going to have a good time explaining to God why you let your kids fill their minds with junk. Because you're responsible for that. The influence question says, how is what I'm doing going to help hurt somebody else? As a neighbor, you need to ask, am I a good neighbor to the people around me who live next door to me? Now I want to make a true confession. Those of you who live anywhere near me, I've made a resolution starting yesterday that I'm going to bring the trash cans in after one day. I promise you, we will not leave them out longer than one day anymore. So God had to speak to me through my own sermon. So. Of course, as a Christian, you obviously should be interested in how you live because you are influencing other people. Go, well, if that's a Christian, forget that. Okay? You know, the other day I was in Best Buy buying some electronic gear, and I put out my credit card, and the kid at the checkout, you know, put it in. It wouldn't swipe through, so he put in the numbers, and it didn't go through, and so he's fiddling with it for about 10 minutes, and finally he walks over to a help desk, and they fiddle with it for about 10 minutes, and finally, they call the manager over, and the manager gets on the phone and calls, and I'm not exaggerating, this was at least 30 minutes. I'm standing there. They closed my line, and everybody's going to some other line. I'm just standing there. After about 30 minutes, the manager calls me over, or assistant, or whoever it was, and says, would you talk to the guy on the phone? So I say, sure. I pick it up. It's a guy from Visa. He says, you're using a stolen credit card. I said, no, I'm not. I said, yes, you are. And I said, no, I am not. I said, you are, sir. I said, read me the number they gave you. And when he read it to me, it was one digit off. The kid had just put in a wrong number. Now, did I have a right to be ticked off? Yes. Did I have a right to get frustrated? Yes. Did I have a right to tell him what lousy customer service I had just received and a right to get angry? Yes. But if I had done so, just about the time I did that, one of you would have walked in and said, "Pastor Rick, meet my mom." I can't get angry in public anymore. So I just come here on the weekend and take it out on you. And I just, you know, blah, yeah, there you go. I feel better. You don't feel too good, but I feel great. Now, that's my cross to carry. But you know what? People are watching you too. And there are going to be times in life where you get cruddy service at a restaurant. Or some waitress or some attendant or clerk is going to be rude to you, and every bone in your body wants to say, "Well, forget you, buddy." And you want to say something smart aleckly and be rude back. But don't do it. Because sure enough, right behind you in line will be the guy who sat behind you in church this week, who's not a believer and saying, "Well, if that's what a Christian is, forget it." Okay? There's a word for that. Hypocrite. Okay? So what I'm saying is, you can't just live your life the way you want to. You have to be aware of how it affects other people. And that's very important. Now, as best as I know how, folks, I am trying to live my life in such a way that people will have to make up stuff about me to accuse me. I mean, that's really my goal. And I hope it's your goal, too, that people have to just make up stuff about you because they don't have any ammunition to use against you. Romans 15 says this: "Even if we believe that it makes no difference to the Lord whether we do these things, we still cannot just go ahead and do them to please ourselves. We must bear the burden of being considered of the doubts and fears of others." Now listen, mature people limit their freedom for the benefit of others. Immature people don't. Let me say it again. Mature people limit their freedom for the benefit of others. So why do you do that? Because you're afraid of what other people think? Of course not. You do it out of love. You do it because it's the loving thing to do. And the mark of maturity is that when you, as you consider your decisions, you consider how it's going to affect everybody else around you, not just yourself. And in situations where there is no clear right or wrong, those gray areas that Tom was talking about earlier, what do you do when there's no right or wrong that's real clear? You ask, how will it affect others?
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy you've chosen to study along with us today. We have some really exciting news. Generous friends of Daily Hope have offered a $25,000 matching grant. That means whatever you give to help share the hope of Jesus worldwide will be doubled by the grant. But don't wait, because we only have a few days to meet this match. Any amount not met will be lost. So please act quickly. Here's Rick to tell you more.
You know, I started Daily Hope so I could spread the good news about Jesus, not just across America, but all around the world. And we want people to know that God's Word is filled with hope and truth. And the power that we need to follow Him every day is available to every single one. You know as well as I do that the Word of God changes lives. It's alive, it's active, and it breathes new life and new love into all of our lives. So wherever you listen to this, whether you listen on the website, whether you listen on a radio station, or whether you listen through a podcast, you're a part of the Daily Hope family, and I need your help. We could not do this without your support. Now, you know, I don't take any funds from this broadcast. We don't have any giant million-dollar donor who's giving big gifts to this. It comes from daily donations from listeners like you. We're 100% listener-funded. Would you continue to pray for this broadcast, and would you continue to support us? And write to me. Let me hear from you. I absolutely love reading the stories that are sent to me. So write me, pray for me, and support this ministry. And God will bless it, and God will bless you, and we'll get to heaven, and we'll thank God for all the people who are going to be in heaven because you cared.
When you give a gift to Daily Hope, you're helping share the hope of Jesus with people everywhere. And right now, your gift will be doubled by a $25,000 matching grant. Go to PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004, and we'll send you Going Deeper with God, a personal renewal retreat to say thanks. Again, that's PastorRick.com or the word HOPE to 800-600-5004. There's only 3 days left to get this great resource and have your gift matched by the $25,000 matching grant. So please contact us today. Join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.